Good morning.
Good morning.
Brother Jeff, I appreciate you calling me this morning and asking what I would have you to read this morning. And I gave Jeff just a general idea of my topic this morning. Very well chosen. Thank you very much. Story of Daniel, an individual who not only prayed to God, but prayed constantly. My lesson this morning may end up sounding more like a testimonial than a sermon or an edification. I did some research and found that the top five reasons for divorce in America today, it listed them 1 through 5 here. Number 1, poor communication. 2, financial problems. 3, a lack of commitment to the marriage. 4, a dramatic change in priorities. And 5, infidelity. I'm not known to be an individual who talks a whole lot. Even my students and the students at school will tell you that Doc is kind of quiet, even kind of creepy maybe. And like most men, we often need to be taught how to communicate effectively, especially perhaps as it pertains to our marriages and talking with our children. There's a great deal we can learn from our wives regarding this. Well, I'm still learning from the master teacher, my wife, Sunny. Let's face it, guys, we are not naturally good at this. On the day of my marriage, no one handed me a marriage manual. I learned very little about such things growing up. My mom and dad were just tickled pink that nobody had to tell me or remind me or bug me about studying. Consequently, they were happy campers. Yet we do have a manual on how to communicate with our Creator. And it summarily lists the benefits of doing so. I may turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Doesn't say in some ways, a few ways, a way here and there. It says all thy ways. Acknowledge Him, and He shall, will, promises to direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In our red manual, songbook, number 241, we'll need to turn there. It's entitled, I Must Tell Jesus. I'm not going to sing this, I'm just going to read some words here. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me and Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver. Make of my troubles quickly an end. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. He in all my cares and sorrows will share. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me. over the world the victory to win. You know, when a person, I'm referring to Acts 16, not the story, but the truth about the Philippian jailer. When a person hears the gospel, believes in what he or she has heard, obeys and confesses their sins, confesses that Jesus Christ is the one and only true Son of the only true and living God, and then is immersed in the waters of baptism, he or she becomes a member of the church. And the church, as we know, is the bride of Christ. Consequently, when we become a member of Christ's church, we are by default become a part of the bride, his church. And just as human marriage can end due to a severe lack of communication, we are not immune to such a divorce in a spiritual sense. When we suffer from a lack of communication with our Creator through our Savior Jesus Christ. As we all realize, prayer is the vehicle that God has provided us to communicate with Him. Let me read some thoughts about prayer. What does the Bible say about it? In Genesis, the 4th chapter in verse 26, "And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." Is there a correct posture for prayer? No. I know when in our mind's eye we think of being on our knees, we're asked to bow our heads, to close our eyes, to clasp our hands. In Matthew chapter, I want to turn to, 1 Kings 8 and 45. 1 Kings 8 and 45. And it reads, excuse me. "Then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause." That's right. And then in Exodus 4 and 31, which you've been reading a lot about and here lately. Exodus 4 and 31. "And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped." So we have this vision and we practice it. We bow our heads. We clasp our hands. Should we be searching for eloquent words when we pray? Well, no. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, we all know this particular Bible truth about the Pharisees. Matthew 23, verses 5, and then verse 27. "But all their works they do for them to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." And then in verse 27, Jesus is saying in this entire chapter, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye liken to white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all cleanliness. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Why do we pray? Well, just like I mentioned up front, we want to maintain strong relationship with our wives, with our children, with our families, and amongst each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. That open line of communication develops and strengthens these our relationships. If people do not communicate, how are we supposed to know what it is we're thinking, how we feel about something? If we don't make those phone calls and write those cards, which I need to do more of, there are those in the congregation who are, it just comes natural. And you know who they are. We have to communicate. We have to communicate. And if we don't communicate with our Creator through His Son Jesus, that relationship will sour and will be lost. We are instructed to pray. In Matthew 26 and verse 41, it reads, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." We heard that mentioned this morning. There are many, many other verses in the scriptures that about prayer. Why we should pray. But this morning, it's not so much that I want to speak with you about how to pray, where to pray, what to say, where you should be. I want to talk this morning about, and Jeff mentioned this kind of briefly when he was reading Scripture. I want to talk about praying without ceasing. And of course, I'm going to turn to, as you probably all figured this out, turn to me with, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'd like to read verses 15 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 15 through 18. "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, if you mention that to somebody not in the church or not familiar with scriptures and so on, if you told them to pray without ceasing, their natural reaction would be, "Well, hey, I gotta have a life, I gotta eat, I gotta go to work, I gotta go to school, I have a family. If I'm constantly on my knees, bowing my head and praying all the time, I can't do that." Well, of course not. So, what does this mean? To pray without ceasing. And brothers and sisters, this is something I have missed the mark on for most of my Christian walk. Sure, pray at meals, pray at church, I pray for my wife and my children, I pray for brothers and sisters in the church, etc., etc. Those are what we might classify as prayer, formal prayer, you know, head bowed, hands clasped, on my knees perhaps at times. But we can't do that 24/7, can we? Or can we? That's the question. So this begs the question, what does it mean? As I was researching, I found some information which really outlined how I felt about this and how I realized how much I've missed the mark. And as you look at that word in verse 17, pray, at least in my Bible, it has the three lowercase letters P-I-M in front of it. And if you really dig into the scriptures, and the languages, the Hebrew and the Greek, past participles and all that kind of stuff, and it gets pretty heavy. P-I-M means, it's called the present imperative. Is a command to do something in the future and involves continuous or repeated action. When it is negative and prohibits an action, it is usually carries with it the implication of stopping an action which has been taking place. It's a command to do something repeatedly, consistently, constantly. And so I pondered this question about how to pray without ceasing. And like I said, we have bodily functions that go without thinking about. I can hold my breath for a little while, but not very long. My heart beats. I can tell it stopped, and we won't. I wanted to. Not that way soon, anyway. And other bodily functions just continue on without a word, nothing, just keeps going. There's a biological name for all that. I can't remember what it is. But there are more possibilities. And when you realize that you're supposed to be in a continual, prayerful mindset and perspective, that gets a little scary. And a little humbling. What God wants us to do, what He means by pray without ceasing, is in every aspect of our lives. We are to give Him praise. We are to look up at the skies, look at the trees, look at you, look at my family, my wife and my children, and be thankful. In my own mind, praise His name. When I look out at my students, some of them more difficult to do this than others, but to thank Him for them. Wasn't too long ago in my UMKC class on Thursday nights, I open class every night with a quote. This is an elementary science methods class. And one night I decided to put a opening quote that was, quite frankly, rather spiritual in nature. And the quote was, "Do not ask God for good students." But ask for students who see His goodness in you. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is supposed to mean. Pray without ceasing. Give God the glory without ceasing. When you get an opportunity to praise Him yourself in private, when you're driving down the road and you see all of His creation around you, the cows in the field, even that deer who walked across your road and about hit you. When you see the thunder clouds and the lightning and you hear the thunder, when you see the change of seasons, praise His name. Give God the glory. And then when opportunity presents itself, Let others know how you feel about him. Whether it's directly preaching the gospel or whether it's your mannerisms and how you talk. So we all have a part to play. When we come upon temptation, and here's where I will close. Lift that up to your Lord. Whether it's a thought, whether it's something you're about to say, something you're about to do, give it up to Him. He knows you. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're about to say. He knows what you're about to do. But the very instant that you give it up to Him, it simply goes away. It is just that simple. At least from my experience. When I am tempted to think something wrong about something or somebody, when I'm about to say something that I know I shouldn't, and I take a moment and say, God, take this from me. He does. It is just that simple. We had this saying in the military, K-I-S-S, kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. By what God think about us every now and then, keep it simple, stupid. All you got to do is talk to me. You know, you've had friends or relatives, they come up to you and say, talk to me. What's going on? Go up to a student. Talk to me. That's all God wants. He wants us to talk to Him. Just like my wife wants me to talk to her. I'm okay. Don't worry about it. Yeah, right. God just wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to, as the song says, tell Him of our burdens. He's not going to force Himself upon us. That's not how He made us. He didn't make us robots. So life can become and should become a continual ascending prayer to the Father. God, take me to this through this day. God, help me give You the glory. When men praise me for something I've done, give You the glory. And don't be shy about it. And in Colossians 3 and 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. And by doing so, the day goes by better. Work goes better. My relationship with my students goes better. My family goes better. With you goes better. And with myself goes better. When we have trials and tribulations, when things aren't going quite right, God can give us that peace that passeth all understanding. The world can't give it to you. No way. But God can. And don't try to make sense out of it. He gives it to you freely, providing you talk to Him. So if you're here today and want that peace that passeth all understanding, you want that open line of communication which comes automatically when you are immersed in the waters of baptism through the Holy Spirit, to talk to God, our Creator, through Jesus Christ. That is a line of communication that will reap benefits from the moment you accept Him to the moment you take your last breath. And then the fun really begins. You're in heaven with Him in glory, praising His name, giving Him the glory. Life is just not the same without Him. So please come forward if we can help in any way as we stand and sing the invitation.